Lots more to talk about with Del Bigtree. His website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and we'll also come back and take phone calls with him on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Del Bigtree, with us. Del, a few more questions before we go to calls here. If one has been vaccinated, should they, based on what you've heard, be concerned about the long term for themselves?
You know, it's a very hard question to answer because I don't like scaring people. I also believe that, you know, I believe in the placebo effect. Our minds are very powerful in how our health is.
Sure.
But all of that being said, you know, we are seeing very, very disturbing science that's coming forward on the long-term safety issues that should have been discovered had we done long-term trials. I could probably go on for a couple of hours, but let me get to the major one breaking just this week. We're going to talk about it on my show tomorrow. In a journal called Circulation, which is one of the number one heart journals in the world, and one of the top scientists has put out this study where they've been following people and looking at several biomarkers for heart conditions in these people for many years. Every 6 months they get tested on these several proteins and things, and then they recognize, well, look, all these people are now getting vaccinated. Let's see how that's affecting it. And what they've recognized is doubling these very critical biomarkers that lead to heart disease.
Oh, my God.
To see a gigantic rise in heart disease amongst people that are receiving the vaccine. That's a huge problem right there. And it's got people like Dr. Peter McCullough, one of the great cardiologists in America, calling for the end of this vaccine. There was a big scientist in England on the news saying, we've got to stop this vaccine immediately. This is very troubling. We also know that in order to make the vaccine work, remember, we're sending this mRNA message to the cells. Well, our immune systems, for many years while they were trying to work on this technology, the immune systems were attacking the mRNA because it's foreign. Our bodies don't like the idea of this in our bodies. And so what they did, there was two scientists that figured out how to manipulate the mRNA to change the code just a little bit so that it would put to sleep, essentially, our toll-like receptors. You don't really need to know what that is unless you want to really get deep in the weeds, but essentially think of it as your watchman for your immune system. In your cells, and especially your macrophage, your white blood cells that attack cancers and things like that, your toll-like receptors are what are always studying what is self and what is not self, what's foreign and what's my body, and so it attacks invaders. Well, now we're finding out that to get the vaccine to work, they shut those watchmen for our immune systems down, and we are seeing incredible stories, you know, of oncologists across this nation around the world saying they're seeing this dramatic rise in cancer, really aggressive cancers that are moving so fast, and especially in people that had previously had cancer but were in remission. I'm hearing so many stories of people coming out of remission after the vaccination, and now cancer is running rampant. We saw some, you know, this is all now being proven in studies that it's going on, but there was some anecdotal evidence of this early on because we were seeing a rise in shingles after people were getting the vaccine, and that was very curious because there is no shingles element in this vaccine. But if you think about these toll-like receptors, they're always fighting every pathogen and everything, and shingles is really your chicken pox that you got as a kid. It's always your toll-like receptors are constantly waging this battle to keep your shingles or that herpes zoster, to be very specific, that creates shingles at bay. But if you put those to sleep, if you put your watchmen to sleep, all of a sudden these viruses are no longer dormant, and now you're getting shingles. So we believe we're going to see a gigantic rise in cancer, a gigantic rise in heart disease. I think it was so noticeable that we will recognize within the next 6 months to a year death rates skyrocketing amongst people that got the vaccine. And then lastly, the issue that we've been discussing from the very beginning is something called antibody-dependent enhancement. This was what we saw in every single animal trial that was attempted of a coronavirus vaccine for the last 20 years prior to this pandemic. Every single time the drug company created a new vaccine for coronavirus, it was very popular to try and make one, go into animal trials, and here's what would happen. They would inject the animal with the vaccine. It looked like it was safe. The vaccine didn't kill the animals. And then they would draw their blood and saw that it was producing very robust amounts of antibodies. So it looked like it was a success. I imagine there was, you know, champagne glasses in laboratories, and everyone's thinking we're going to be billionaires. But animal studies go one step further than most human trials do. It's called a challenge study, where they would then actually inject or force the animal to breathe in coronavirus. To their amazement and shock, instead of the antibodies protecting the animal, neutralizing the virus, and killing it dead, the antibodies seemed to grab onto the virus and help it into the cells, helped it infect the animal faster, and created what's called a cytokine storm. That's your immune system having like a nuclear meltdown that led to difficulty breathing, in many cases organ failure and death. That wasn't just one trial. It was literally every single animal trial that was ever done prior to warp speeding this vaccine into human beings. And so when we looked at the emergency use authorization when it was first coming out, and we knew that there was this huge death side effect, essentially, in the animal trials, we said, well, certainly they looked for that problem in the trials on human beings. And what we found through my nonprofit and our, using our legal cases, FOIA requests, and even suing the FDA for some of this information, what we found, they in fact designed the studies to not look for it. And they even say in the emergency use authorization, there's a whole section on data gaps and information we don't know. It says when it comes to this immune disease enhancement issue, more studies will need to be done in the future after licensure. They literally said, we know about this side effect of death, but we're not going to look at it until after this vaccine is licensed, meaning the millions, hundreds of millions of people that have received this vaccine could have a vaccine that could ultimately, and here's how this is going to work. People think they're safe, then they come in contact with a virus this fall. Maybe it's Omicron, maybe it's a Delta.
Or one we haven't even thought of yet.
Or one we haven't even thought of. Instead of the illness just their body dealing with it, the vaccine is going to help the virus kill the host. It's actually going, it's disease enhancing. And this is very problematic, and we think, and what's scary about it is all the scientists that were looking at it, and even Dr. Peter Hotez has been celebrated making vaccines. He warned our Congress in the beginning of last year in 2020 that he didn't think we should rush this vaccine because of this problem. He had tried to make a coronavirus vaccine and said we saw this paradoxical effect, he said, where the vaccine actually helped the virus infect and kill these animals. And so we believe, and this is one of the things Dr. Robert Malone is talking a lot about, the inventor of the mRNA vaccine, he is saying he really believes we're starting to see this enhanced disease being caused by the vaccine. We're looking at Israel. We're seeing these skyrocketing, these rising death rates, and these rising serious infections in people that have already been vaccinated. So not only is the vaccine not working, it appears that the vaccine is helping the virus make the people more sick and potentially that's just three of the major problems we're looking at. And then, of course, when you look at children, we are very, very concerned about myocarditis and pericarditis. Studies out of Israel, and this is mind-blowing that they approved this vaccine for children. It's so shocking.
Oh, my gosh. Without studies.
The studies show that, for instance, boys in Israel that got the vaccine were between 3 to 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with myocarditis, which is a potentially lethal heart condition.
It's an infection, isn't it?
Right, an infection, a swelling of heart that will damage their heart permanently for their entire lives. They even say that most people that suffer myocarditis will be dead, 50% are expected to be dead within 10 years. Now, more kids, there are 3 to 6 times more likely to have that condition than they are to end up being hospitalized from the virus naturally itself. So this is a situation where when we say the risk-reward benefit ratio, you know, is the virus more deadly than the vaccine, when it comes to children, we know for a fact that the vaccine is more dangerous for children than the virus is. This should have never been approved by the FDA or the CDC, and I think there are, and we're hearing so many stories of these children packing up hospitals with swollen hearts, not being able to compete in the sports that they were competing in. This is a horror. And again, it's one of those reasons why Kennedy and I are saying Tony Fauci should be in prison for crimes against humanity.
Let's go to the phones. Michelle is in Tualatin, Washington to get us started. Hi, Michelle.
Hey there. Hi there, George. I've been listening for 30 years. I love you guys.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I just retired from nursing, 45 years of nursing, and I got the first vaccine, immediately felt a heaviness in my lungs.
Oh, geez.
Scared the dickens out of me. I had a double pulmonary embolism, blood clots in both lungs a year previous to that vaccine due to post-op problems with the total knee.
Did you follow up and get number two, number three, the booster?
No, I don't believe in it. I'm on board with what you guys. I'm on board with the education that's coming through. And I was lucky to be on blood thinners and metoprolol, which keeps your heart beating, evenly. So I think that that's the only thing that saved my life. But I also had, I believe I had all the symptoms of having COVID prior to it going public. So here I had a natural immunity. Went through 6 boxes of Kleenex. I was on blood thinners then, and again, I believe that's what got me through it at my age. I'm 67 now. But then I got the first vaccine. So now, I don't plan on getting any more. They can lock me up first, but I will not get the others.
All right. Thanks for sharing that story with us, Michelle. How many are like that out there, Adele?
You know, it's a really important thing she's pointing out. There are studies that show, and there were people that spoke to the CDC about this issue, that if you've already had the natural infection, you have natural immunity, there could be a deleterious effect, a really dangerous effect to being vaccinated on top of that, that could exacerbate the problems I just described. We also know now, because of several studies coming out, that, as I said, all the studies show that natural immunity, like she had when she had had the infection, that might have lasted her for many years, perhaps the rest of her life. But what we're seeing are trials that are showing that once you get the vaccine, after you had that natural immunity, you are now reducing the length of that natural immunity to the same length you're going to get from the vaccine, which is we're seeing between 6 to 10 weeks now. We now know that the antibodies are dropping, and as much as 50% of the antibodies are lost within 10 weeks of your second vaccine. That's not happening to the naturally immune, but the naturally immune who get the vaccine, then the studies show that they also lose their antibodies after 10 weeks. So it's showing it's erasing the immunity you had. Essentially, you had a Ferrari of immunity from having had a natural infection, and you traded that in for a Pinto.
Jeez.
Is sort of my description of what's happening.
Do you think those virologists at that Wuhan lab are high-fiving it, saying, look what we made?
You know, I believe, and I lost my YouTube channel and my Facebook channels because we dared to question the pangolin or the natural origin theory. We have been interviewing scientists on my show very early on saying this looks like it could very well come from the Wuhan lab. Now, of course, and I've been fact-checked and I've been attacked by major newspapers, and yet now, a year later, it's now the number one belief.
I said this in December of 2019, Dell, when they...
You were ahead of me.
I may have been the first in the country, and the only reason I said it is I kind of think of myself as intuitive. And, when I saw that little story of the Wuhan market, and this one person got this strange little disease from eating a tainted bat, And then the next day they talked about the Wuhan viral lab. I went, no. There are no coincidences. Something was going on in that lab. Maybe it got into the market or something, but it came out of that lab. And I was right. I was right.
But yeah, but take it a step further. It's true. I think you were right. And look, they've dissed all of the journals, all of the writings, the group. I mean, why did our own government, even Donald Trump and Biden, sent in people that were all a part of funding that lab to investigate the lab to come out and tell us, oh, it wasn't the lab? I mean, it is so corrupt what's taking place here. There's a lot of people at fault. I think our own government's fingerprints are all over this for some reason. Otherwise, we'd be seeing a better investigation and a more thorough investigation, and we'd be seeing our news agencies saying, look, China is an enemy of the United States of America. We may be under a biological attack. How is it that no one in media has even posted or put forward that concept?
And we funded it.
There's something going on. And we funded it. Exactly right.
Rand Paul has got it. He knows what he's talking about. And there are others that are beginning to join his camp, too.
Agreed. And he has been fantastic in grilling Tony Fauci on this gain-of-function discussion. But I just want to say, let's say they created this virus, but even more shocking, if you think of how the vaccine was made, well, we had American companies like Moderna and Pfizer reach out to China, say, hey, what is that virus that's floating there in Wuhan? And China said, oh, here, take this code and inject this into every single American citizen you have. We're injecting ourselves with the bioweapon made in the Wuhan laboratory. And it's a far better delivery system than trying to breathe it out in the open. So literally our own government, our CDC, the FDA, our own drug companies are helping China inject every citizen with this terrifying spike protein, the bioweapon that was manipulated in a laboratory. The story is so unbelievable that I think it's why we're having difficulty getting across, because people have a hard time believing it's true.
Joe in Boston, Mass. Let's get you in before the break, Joseph.
Hey,
go ahead.
George, thank you for taking my call. I have three questions and a couple comments.
Okay, we won't get all three in. Let's start with one.
I can do it real quick, so give me a chance, please, because I've waited a long time.
Well, it's the answer I'm concerned about. Go ahead.
I'm blind, and I want to get the ivermectin. I can't get it from Doctors of America. No one will help me with the photo and video. If you could contact me, take my number off the air, I'd appreciate it. I'd like to get your documentary. I had COVID. I know I've seen your show. You have people that have been injured by this, and I wish Howard Bloom would understand this. That woman that was shaking, I'd like you to comment on this. And how do you think we'll stop these mandates? Because we need to get you to the White House to speak to the president.
How do you get ivermectin, Dell? Do you get it from a doctor anymore, or have they banned that?
You have to find doctors. There are doctors in Texas that are still prescribing it, but you have to find those doctors. It's not usually in hospitals. They're in private practice. They're putting their careers on the line. As he said, frontline doctors had a website. They've been trying to get it out, but they're so buried. The few doctors that are delivering these life-saving medications are trying to supply, hundreds of millions of Americans that are looking for it, because none of the hospitals are doing what's right. And so, just as you heard, frontline doctors has attempted to keep up with it, but there's a lot of people not receiving it because it's just too large a volume and too large a request. So, I can't say there's one source. If I told you one doctor today, tomorrow a million people are going to contact that doctor. And so it's really, really a shame. But for this guest who said he's had the natural infection, he shouldn't need ivermectin then. He's already through it. He's not going to have an issue with that. And as far as talking to politicians and trying to stop this mandate, look, the people have got to stand up. We're seeing marches with millions of people around the world. We saw, I think, over 10,000 union workers in New York walk across the Brooklyn Bridge. We've got to get back to old school civil disobedience, walking, and then while we're doing that, letting our governors and our attorney generals know, keep fighting for us, a lot of them. Nearly, I think more than half, I think it's about 26 or 27 states have been fighting for medical freedom and the right to choose.
Absolutely, and it's growing, Dell. It's growing. We're going to come back and take final calls with you in a moment. Dell Bigtree with us. His websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Wow. Next hour, we're going live to South Africa, where, strangely enough, the variant Omicron is supposed to have originated. We'll find out if it did from our special guest, Del Bigtree, when we come back. Michael Tellinger with us. He's going to talk about ancient civilizations that have vanished from the planet. Where did they go? So we'll be doing that next hour. We'll come back in a moment and take final calls with Del on Coast to Coast as well. Welcome back to Coast, Del Bigtree with us. Del, how about this for a scenario and a possibility? Is this strange or what? You create the disease, then you create the virus, then you create the vaccine, and then you get all the billions of dollars for something you created. Is that conceivable?
Imagine you sell a bunch of drugs like blood thinners to deal with the heart disease that the vaccine creates. You're still missing a giant financial piece of that conveyor belt that they're all a part of. Yes, I think it's definitely possible that this thing, but I think it's more than, I think we undermine the what's going on when we just think it's only financial. Sure, there are billions of dollars to be made here, but those billions really lead to power, and this is really, you know, we could do a whole other show, and I'm sure you've had other guests. What this is really leading to is transhumanism, this sort of takeover of our bodies. They want to track us. They want this vaccine passport. All of this, the vaccine is not the biggest problem we have, but to me, it's the tip of the sword, the tip of the spear. If we can stop this vaccine mandate, we can stop these lunatics that are trying to, you know, use control and, technologies along with the pharmaceutical industry to absolutely have total control of our lives. That vaccine passport is the beginning of social credit scores, of deciding, you know, if I've been good on Facebook and then I can get a home loan.
That's right.
And it can check my temperature. It knows if my heart is beating. Imagine if I'm watching Joe Biden in the future, like let's take North Korea, for instance, and you're watching the leader on television and you go, man, I hate this guy. Well, those biorhythms can be picked up by your cell phone right now. And imagine you have an app in there that's tracking these things. All of that tracking system, this is what these governments want. Every government, this is a part of the Great Reset. It's total social control. But I believe this vaccine and using fear and getting us to use these technologies to track us because we're so afraid of our neighbor who didn't get vaccinated, all of this is really just being built to get us to give up our freedoms and start turning each other in so these technologies and these social controls take over. So to me, stopping this vaccine, we can actually stop the progression of that level of insanity that is being dreamed into our lives by the richest, you know, technocrats in the world right now. So there's a whole other place this goes to. Yes, billions of dollars to be made, and this technology, if they get away with this mRNA technology, it's a vaccine they can make overnight. They literally brag, we made it in days. As soon as China handed us the code, we could inject into human beings days later. So now you have the industry, if they get away with this and they can ignore this rise in deaths that we're seeing in all of the vaccine adverse events reporting system, that's the reporting system of the injuries, we're seeing more deaths from this vaccine in the last year than every vaccine ever made in America combined for the last 30 years.
Wow.
So that's how bad this is. But the CDC won't recognize it, and because they're all in bed with pharma, with this with the technocrats, with the Bill Gates of the world, with Klaus Schwab coming out of Switzerland, these are very scary times. But this vaccine is the sort of entryway, right? It's that doorway into a future none of us want. That's why we've got to stand up for our rights to choose now. We won't only just protect our bodies. We're going to protect our children and that takeover of our lives. We really, it's like a prison state. Look at Australia. They're living in a prison state now. There's people being quarantined for 21 days in jail cells in Hong Kong that got both the vaccines, were on a plane, but somebody infected was on the plane, and it doesn't even matter if they have a negative test. They're sitting in jail cells for 21 days.
Jeez.
This is happening all over the world, and the only reason it's not happening in America is, I think, a couple of things. There's still a lot of Americans that have guns in their houses. So don't come door to door and try and vaccinate Americans. You might not live through that experience. And we also have this pesky little constant that's getting in the way. But it sure seems to me, as Biden, you know, is at least courts are saying what he's doing is illegal, but you have a president trying to take illegal actions against his own citizens. This has got to be stopped. We've got to nip this in the bud and wake up to what's really happening now.
East of the Rockies, Colleen's with us in Sarasota Springs, New York. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. How are you? I hope all is well.
Yes, yes, yes. I hope so. Dell, you've been so right about everything that you said. I'm a former nurse, and my husband and I had COVID 2 years ago in 2020 before Fauci came on the scene. We got over it fine. We have natural immunity. My son, the same. However, and none of us are going to take the vaccine, but my daughter and my son-in-law are now in active COVID. So my son-in-law had the monoclonal antibodies, the Regeneron. And my daughter started taking ivermectin as soon as she found out her husband had it. He caught it from a vaccinated person who was a spreader, still was coming to work because he didn't have many symptoms. So it's just like what you were talking about earlier tonight. That happened to my son-in-law. So my daughter came down with it a week ago, and she hasn't really been getting better. She ran out of ivermectin. The frontline doctors were going to put her on more ivermectin with steroids and the Z-Pak. But my doctor wants her to get the monoclonal antibodies just like my son-in-law. Now, my son-in-law is feeling better. I don't know too much about Regeneron other than the president had it and did well. So I wanted to know from you if you know anything about the monoclonal antibodies, and she's supposed to go at 9:30 tomorrow morning to the hospital as an outpatient to get the injections.
All right. What do you know about this, Del?
Well, I mean, I want to say I am a journalist and I'm not a doctor. I'm not here to give medical advice. I have heard people saying they've had very good success with monoclonal antibodies. A great doctor down here, Dr. Richard Bartlett, is working in a monoclonal antibody clinic, and he says he's seeing really great results from that. There are people that are concerned with Regeneron. What are the long-term effects of taking these sort of synthetic of antibodies? We don't, you know, they've been used before. They're not brand new, but there are questions about that. But again, if you're really suffering, and this is not an illness to play around with, especially when we're starting to see these variants, you want to get this out of your body. I believe it's a bioweapon, and so you've got to, you know, make the decisions you're going to make. There's great websites out there. Look up Dr. Richard Bartlett. He, you know, I would be saying, you know, things that I've used and that I've given to other people, you know, to be nebulizing budesonide to clear the lungs. A steroid in the lungs can be very good. But again, I don't like to give medical advice. I think that we have an intuition inside of us that leads us to what we're supposed to do. What I would say to you and to your daughter, you know, is just if she feels good about it, she should do it. If she has a bad feeling about it, I think you've really got to listen to that inside of yourself and be guided by that. If more people did that, I don't think they'd be getting the vaccine. There's something inside of us that guides us. You know, whether you believe in God or, you know, whatever it is, or just intuition, listen to that. If we start listening to that more, we're going to make better decisions in these times of crisis.
And, Del, what happened to the upwards of 60,000 flu deaths every year, 20 to 60,000 flu deaths? I haven't heard one flu death story in 2 years.
They've disappeared. The flu has disappeared. I mean, I can't wrap my head around it. That story many different ways. Are they testing? Are they not testing for it? What's going on? Does coronavirus somehow, you know, erase? Is it so dominant that it's overcoming flu? I mean, all of it.
It's bizarre.
It's bizarre. And, you know, one of the issues we're going to have, and it's been really sad because, you know, I do huge investigations into our capture systems in America. We are doing such poor collection through this entire experience that I don't know if we're ever going to understand what happened here. But if you think about it, we have 650,000 people die every year from heart disease. Hundreds of thousands die from cancer. Hundreds of thousands, you know, and then COPD. These are all leading causes. They're also the major, you know, comorbidities, they call them.
Exactly.
People dying from COVID.
And they happen
so
every year.
Robbing, Are we just calling COVID deaths, you know, really what would have been a heart disease death last year, a cancer death?
I think a lot of that.
Are we going to be able to figure this out, you know? And so the same thing with flu. Are we just calling it the flu even though, you know, it was always coronavirus? And I think one of the things I think is that I don't think we actually understand these illnesses as much as we believe that science does. I don't think we understand the immune system. I don't think we understand how these pathogens interact with us or with each other. And so all of this, it would be such a great thing if the CDC was really capturing this information and had a robust system. But instead, they have this terrible system called VAERS that, as I told you, I think we're nearing 18 or 19,000 deaths reported from the vaccination, from the COVID vaccine alone in the last year. That's off the Richter scale. I've been studying VAERS for years, saying we usually have about 400 or 500 reported deaths. And why those numbers are so bad is that Harvard Medical School was hired by the CDC, I think it was back in 2015, to investigate this VAERS system. Remember, this is the system used by every doctor or anybody that sees someone injured, one of their patients injured by a vaccine. This is the system they use. And yet, when Harvard Medical School investigated it, they came to the conclusion that it's capturing less than 1% of the actual amount of injuries that are placed. So if we're to extrapolate that, and, you know, 1%, are we saying that 18,000 deaths right now is only 1% of the amount of deaths that are really should be being reported? I mean, you can't do, I don't want to do math that way, but we are very, very concerned at the numbers we are seeing. And yet, are we ever going to get to the bottom of it when we have someone like Tony Fauci that is clearly got a bias, is clearly protecting his own? We have a government now that is forcing this vaccine on people. Do we really believe our government's going to say, oops, sorry to the 2
right.
million people?
We made a mistake.
You know that's never going to happen. So they're going to now use all the power our government has to hide the truth from us to the very end. This is going to be, in a way, a fight to the death of truth. Who's going to win? And that's why the work that I'm doing is why I'm so passionate about this. We have got to make sure that history tells this story correctly so that we never have this happen again.
Mike in Mankato, Minnesota. Let's get you in here, Michael. Go ahead.
Hey, George. It's Mike in Minnesota. Say, I was going to ask you, or not ask you, but that guy, Dell. So what is, so I was vaccinated against the virus. Should I be concerned about my longevity of life? Like, should I be concerned?
Well, he's not a doctor. He can't tell you how things are going to happen longevity-wise for you, but I'll let you answer it, Del.
Yeah, I mean, look, what I said is I think you really, there are countries now that are saying after you get your vaccine, don't exercise for the first couple of months. They're so concerned about the heart issue that you don't want to do strenuous exercise. I think we've watched over 75 professional athletes collapse on the field of play around the world in this time of vaccination. Now, we're told that's anecdotal. You can't prove it's the vaccine. But I don't ever remember any time in my entire 51 years of being alive hearing about professional soccer players and athletes and softball players and track athletes dropping over with a heart attack on the field while they're competing. So something is going on. And so, look, if I had gotten this vaccine, I would certainly be treating myself and keeping my health up as much as possible. I'd probably be making sure that I'm having all of my, you know, go get a D-dimer test to see if you have mini blood clots. This is something that I think everyone should be doing after they get vaccinated. If you've got the vaccine, immediately get the D-dimer test to see if it created these micro blood clots that can lead to these strokes and heart attacks that we're hearing about. That's just one thing you can do. And before we get done, I want to put it out there. There's a huge study that's coming out now.
40 seconds left, though.
For people that want to know, you know, what do I do? Vitamin D, they're now saying that it looks like vitamin D may be one of the greatest protectors against serious infection. In fact, the number that they're saying in the study is if you have 50 nanograms of vitamin D in your system, if you get a blood test to look for it, you want to be, you know, getting it up in that level that they're not going to say you can't get COVID, but that the outcomes are so astronomically better than those that are at lower levels of vitamin D. There appears to be a real direct connection to the vitamin D level in your body and how serious an illness.
Well, and I pelt myself, Dell, with vitamin D, zinc, turmeric, you name it, I take it. And knock on wood, and thank God, so far so good. Dell, keep in touch with us, and we've got your website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. We'll be back.